Welcome to the Coaching Lab Podcast, where basketball coaches build more success in less time by increasing their ability to teach, lead, and coach the players on their team and in their program. Coach, we're going to be talking about open gym do's and don'ts. Now, it's getting to be that time of year. If you're out of the season, doesn't matter if it's preseason, postseason, summertime, you're going to have some open gyms. And there's some things you definitely want to do and some things you don't want to do. Now, these I've learned the hard way a little bit, and some of them I've just seen other coaches do, and I shake my head and I'm like, what is going on? So let's go over the do's first, and then we're going to hit the don'ts. I'm going to keep it short and sweet, only going to give you three of each, but they're things that will definitely make your open gyms more competitive, moving your players in the right direction, and that's getting better. So the first thing, what are the three do's that we want to have? All right, we want to put in a rule that helps the defense. One thing that always suffers in open gyms is the defensive side of the ball. Offense scores a lot, defense might be non-existent. So do put in rules for your defense to reward them. Here's what I mean. If there is a block or a tip out of bounds, goes to the defense, even if the defense blocked it or tipped it out of bounds, it goes back to the defense. Why? Because it gets effort out of your defensive players. It also makes your offensive players have to value the basketball more. If they're making bad passes or they're doing things they think they can get away with that you know they couldn't get away with in a game, well, let's make them kind of pay for it. And if we get a block or a tip because the defense is giving us great effort or they're taking advantage of something the offense is doing poorly, give the ball back to the defense. Believe me, it'll slow down the number of turnovers you have, it'll slow down the number of bad shots that you have, and your defense is going to play harder. So we do want to put this rule in. The second thing that we want to do is we want to get back past half court to score. This is one where guys want to cherry pick. You have to make a decent effort to get back past half court. Now, if you're walking and standing at half court, it doesn't count. We're talking about getting back, getting into the play, or if you sprinted back and you only got the half court, the effort is there, but the play happened too quickly, went out of bounds, whatever, that's fine. But if you don't get the half court, you can't score on the other end. So we want to make sure that our players are getting conditioned while they're playing. And that means no cherry picking, no runouts, that kind of stuff, just because a guy is being lazy. So make sure that your players get past half court if they want to score on the offensive end of the floor. All right, number three that we want to have is we want to seal the win with a free throw. This adds pressure, so you want your players to be able to shoot free throws. Whoever scores the last bucket, they need to hop up to the free throw line, they need to make it, they make the free throw, the game's over. If not, the last bucket doesn't count, so we're playing to 11 points, and they were at 9 before, they go back to 9 because they didn't hit the free throw. If they make the free throw, they win. So you're putting pressures on your players in order to get them comfortable at the free throw line under pressure. And depending on who's shooting that last point, they're gonna get to the free throw line. So sometimes it helps your players understand who should take that last shot, because if they're not a good free throw shooter, they may not be the one who wants to score. All right, so those are your three do's. How about your don'ts? Let's take a look at those real quick. All right, our don'ts. Now, this is one I cringed at when I saw it. Don't put your upperclassmen with the lowerclassmen on their court. So don't. We're just going to go upperclassmen. Don't put upperclassmen down on lower class court. Now, every once in a while, you have to have an upperclassman step because the numbers. Okay, you need another player down there. They're sitting out. Go hop in. That's fine. But I'm talking about deliberately telling your upperclassmen that you need to play with the freshmen or play with the sophomores tonight. When I saw a coach do that, oh my goodness. That really just takes a sales out of a kid. And the kid wasn't a bad player, come to find out. They did this a couple of times. The kid stopped showing up, never played, and they would have been in the rotation, in my opinion. So it was a way to kind of run the kid out and without saying it. Now, I don't know that for a fact, but that's certainly what it looked like. Let your upperclassmen play with the upperclassmen. Let your lowerclassmen play with them. If anything, you want to pull the upperclassmen up or the lowerclassmen up, have an upperclassman just sit out a game, see how your lowerclassmen do. But when you start dividing them and you deliberately put players down on a lower court when that's not where they belong, you leave them there all night, don't do that. That's a way to create a problem on your team right away. Guess what? That team had a ton of drama because that wasn't the only thing that the coach did that year. Anyways, let's go on to number two. All right, don't let one team run the court all night. Now, this one I probably get a little bit of pushback on from some people, but sometimes you get a stacked team and they're going to be on the court all night long, and that means the other players aren't going to get to play. What's the point of open gym? The point is to get your players better, to get them in condition, to get them having fun. So what I like to do is I put a little bit of a limit on it. So you put a two-game or a three-game win limit on it, then that breaks that team up. They've got to reshoot. They've got to get on different teams. I want all of my players to get better. If one team's running the floor, means that they probably have a stacked team. They're not getting better anyways because they're winning all the time. The other team's getting frustrated, and they're not either capable, they're not athletic enough, they're not old enough, they're not skilled enough, whatever, to compete with them. So we need to make sure that we have some balance there. Nothing wrong with having a team win a couple of games and stay, but then mix things back up. Don't let one team run the entire hour and a half or 2 hours of open gym and let everybody else get frustrated. That doesn't make anybody better, and that defeats the purpose of the open gym. Whether it's preseason, postseason, or summertime, you want your players on the floor getting better, and that doesn't do it. Number three. Don't only play 5v5. And now this sounds a little bit weird, but I love to start open gyms with 3-on-3. Starting with 3-on-3, a lot more touches, a lot more shots, a lot more defense, a lot more passing, a lot more dribbling, all of that stuff. You can put constraints on them if you want. Got to pass it into the post. Everybody's got to touch the ball. No more than two dribbles. It's got to be a drive and kick situation to shoot. You know, pass to the wing, you're going to jack up a three stuff. So all of that can happen in 3-on-3 a whole lot more. You can work on different parts of your game, and then you go to 5-on-5. If you just do it in 5-on-5, some kids are getting a lot of touches, but not all kids are. Again, what's the point of open gym? Get everybody better. So we want lots of touches on the ball. So we like to go 3-on-3 in the beginning, and then we go 5-on-5 after that. But that means everybody's touching the ball, getting a chance to get better. The other thing that we like to do, and this would really be kind of a number four here, is if you want to emphasize like a backdoor cut, we say, hey, you score off a backdoor cut, game's automatically over. What that makes happen is your defense has to pay attention to defending the backdoor cut, but your offense is looking for opportunities to get it so the game can be over. So that's something that you could just throw in there for fun, whether it's 3-on-3 or 5-on-5. It's amazing how crazy the guys go when somebody scores offensively on that backdoor cut. It's also cool to see how players kind of get upset at themselves and they work that much harder to make sure it doesn't happen again.
Coach, if you've enjoyed the Coaching Lab podcast, I encourage you to go give us a 5-star rating and even leave us a review. I'd greatly appreciate it. Thanks for listening to today's episode, Coach. If you'd like more great coaching content, I encourage you to check out the Coaching Lab at coachmattdennis.com. You'll find everything you need to have more success in less time.